may put reminders on your smartphone or your day planner, make a list of chores or errands, responsibilities that you face each day. But what's the importance, the profound benefit of reminding yourself of the great realities of salvation? That's next on Grace to You. Welcome to a new week of Grace to You with John MacArthur. He's pastor at Grace Community Church since 1969. In the past 45 years of preaching and teaching, what aspects of salvation has John emphasized, made sure to teach his congregation? We'll find out today and see what truths you can't neglect as John MacArthur brings a series titled Remembering What Not to Forget. John, to set the stage and help listeners with their expectations for the study, let me remind you of something you said before. You said that when you step into the pulpit to preach on any given Sunday, that you're not there to reveal some new truth to the congregation. You're often reminding them of what they already know, in many cases, what you've already taught them.
Well, we're all reminders. That's what we do. We remind people of what the Holy Scripture says, what the Bible says. I'm not there to give them some new thing. New things aren't true things. I'm not there to give them some novel kind of insight that I've invented. The point of preaching and the point of teaching is to bring things to people's remembrance. You know, in the New Testament, I think Peter perhaps illustrates this as well as any. This study we're going to do beginning today is called Remembering What Not to Forget, and we're going to go to Peter's second letter, 2 Peter. Peter is going to help us look at the big picture of salvation in his opening chapter there. Too often, I think, we ignore the big picture and we focus on maybe minor details. It's fine to go down to the details, but we need to start with the big picture. And so we're going to do that. It's going to go back to the foundational elements of our salvation, things we don't want to forget, like how did God save you? What was his goal in doing so? What is he accomplishing in your life right now? We don't want to oversimplify, but it's really important that you never forget the foundational things. So stick with us for this wonderful series, Remember What Not to Forget.
Learn how to simplify your spiritual life. Stay focused on what's truly important. Well, you're going to see how that's done right now. As we turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, here's John MacArthur to begin today's lesson.
I've been gone for 3 months. Some of you may not know that, and just coming back from a sabbatical time. And I have to confess that I received no new revelations. I had no visions. I discovered no great new truths that will instantly change all of our lives. But I did learn something very, very important. And that is that it isn't a matter of what's new, it's a matter of remembering what's old. Everywhere I went across the country, I had occasion to speak or teach or answer questions or talk with folks. And I found out that they all ask the same questions, whether they live in Northern California or Texas or Arizona or Arkansas or Illinois or New York or Connecticut or wherever we were. They all ask the same questions, and they all want to know the same spiritual answers. The same basic spiritual truths are as true as they've ever been. The Lord really drove that home to my heart. I sensed in my heart when I left some anxiety. And it was because of the fact that I was just asking myself the question, how long can one limited human being keep speaking to the same people? You know, I just thought, well, maybe I need to be more creative and come up with some new stuff and keep them interested. And, oh, just think, I could go to another church and I'd have 800 sermons. I could go to the office on Sunday morning and say, let's see, I'll just use that one. And boy, I'd be so free from study. And then I thought, as sure as I did that, somebody would say, how come you're preaching old sermons? I have that tape. So I'd be in real trouble. But I was really at that point, and I had, in fact, not long after we left, I received an inquiry from a church in an area that I have a great longing in my heart for and a great concern for, asking me to consider being the pastor, and I didn't want to say no. That's the first time in my life I ever had that reaction. I wanted to pray about it and think about it because I was, at that point, struggling with, you know, is this the place? And how long can I stay in one place? And aren't there other people in other places with needs? And wouldn't this be a good time to move on? I guess that was my struggle. And I think the thing that triggered it was I just feel you people are so kind to keep coming and feeding on the Word of God. But the challenge to me was, how can I say it in another way? How can I... And so I really went away thinking the Lord maybe is going to open up to me some new vistas. And I, at first, Patricia can vouch for this, I read. I just started reading and reading and reading, trying to pump in new things. Everything I read sounded like the same old message from the Word of God in different words. And so I have to confess after 3 months that you just got back what went away, basically. With, I hope, a few more refinements and a drawing nigh unto the Lord that will put a freshness in my ministry. When I came back, I said, I want to share my heart with the people, but I can't just stand there and mumble for 45 minutes. So I asked the Lord to show me a scripture that I could use to teach that would give expression to what I was feeling. And for some reason, by His Spirit, I was driven to 2 Peter chapter 1, and that's what I want to talk about. But 2 Peter chapter 1, I just sat down when I first came back and I just read it. And then I read it again and I thought about it and I pondered it and I talked with some of the pastors about it. And it just seemed to give expression to what was in my heart. Peter was called to feed a flock. I've been called to feed a flock. Peter was a shepherd, a pastor, an overseer, and I identify with him. And he's expressing to his flock his heart in this epistle. It's a marvelous epistle. But it really gave expression to what was in my heart. Many times I was confronted by people around America who said to me, you know, we are sustained by the ministry of Grace Church. I was in one home in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. In fact, we went out to an Amish farm. And we were in a farmhouse that was built in 1760. And we were talking to this little Amish family. And then we went over to visit some folks. I went in their kitchen. They have, I don't know, many kids. They got a quiver full. I don't know how many. They were everywhere. Kitchen looked like our living room. Huge place. And one whole wall was filled with tapes. Husband has terminal cancer. And they all gather together every day to feed on the Word of God sent to them from Grace. Well, this happened over and over and over again. We were in Scroon Lake one day, and we were eating in a pizza parlor, the only pizza parlor in Scroon Lake. We were all sitting there one afternoon having a piece of pizza, our little family, and in walked a man, his wife, and their two teenage children. They sat down and kept looking at us. And we are a strange-looking bunch, frankly, but we couldn't quite figure out why. Finally, the man said to me, you're John MacArthur, aren't you? And I said, yes. He said, we came here to see you. I said, you did? Well, not actually to this pizza parlor, but we came to Scroon Lake. I said, oh, are you here for the week of Bible conference? They said, no, we just drove in today from Florida. It's in upstate New York, 1,000 miles. I said, well, you just drove in today. When are you going to leave? We have to leave a day after tomorrow. We'll just be here one day. But we just wanted to come and see you. I said, well, why did you do that? Well, you see, they said, we've been listening to the radio program, and we've been getting the tapes. And we have become dependent upon this, and we wanted to be sure that there was somebody behind that voice who was real and who lived those truths, and we wanted to see you and your family. Oh, I checked those kids over quick, you know. Right? Watch your manners. We're in real trouble here, folks. You know, those dear people sat down with us and we had a wonderful time together. They gave us a lovely little gift, a little figurine of some kind as a remembrance, and the next day they went back to Florida. Now, that's pretty shocking. I was in city after city where this kind of thing happened. And it was amazing. People would say to me, you know, we've written to your staff and they're helping us. I guess you could sum it up. One young pastor came to me in his 20s, I guess, and he looked at me just straight on, and he just, his eyes were kind of wet with tears, and he said, John, he said, I just want to say one thing. He said, don't do anything different and don't let anything change, because so many of us all over are depending on grace. Well, that's pretty scary. Depending on the feeding of the tape ministry or the radio or our staff as they minister, or you folks as you live the life that sets the pattern. I don't know what it is that causes this to happen other than the sovereignty of God, and it's very, very fearful to me. But what I kept hearing was, we don't want anything new, we just want you to keep the same stuff coming. And the Lord confirmed in my mind that novelty is not my calling. But what God wants us to do is to teach His Word. And it's not new, it's old. But it's very fresh, isn't it? Very fresh. It was those kinds of experiences that drew me into this chapter. And I want you to look with me for a moment at verses 12 to 15. Verses 12 to 15. And I think this will help you to see why I'm speaking the way I am. Peter says this, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and are established in the present truth." You also know the things of which Peter writes. He says, I want to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. You've been taught and you're established. Now, you'd think if they were taught and they were established, Peter might say, now it's time for me to leave. They're taught, they're established, I went away, I proved my point, they can handle it without me. Better they should hear somebody else. But then this hit me. Even though you know it, and even though you're established in it, I'm going to stay around just to make sure you remember it. And so he says in verses 13 and 14, yea, I think it's fitting, or it's in proper perspective, or it's in order, or it's right. As long as I am in this tabernacle, and he's talking about his body there, as long as I am in my physical body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And I know this also. Shortly, I must put off this tabernacle. I'm not going to live forever, he says. In fact, the Lord had told him in John 21 that he was going to die as a martyr. And so he says, I know that I'm going to die in the vitality of my ministry before I ever get to old age, because the Lord told me that. So I don't know how much time I have, as the Lord has shown me that I must die, and as long as I have this time, I'm just going to keep reminding you of what you already know and of what you are already established in. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease or death, to have these things always in memory. In other words, Peter says, I want you to know these things so well that if I were to go away permanently, you would never forget them. Well, beloved, let me tell you something. The ministry comes down to simply establishing people and then reminding them. And that's the way I see it. You know, any good teacher knows one thing about his pupils. You ready for this one? They forget what you teach them. You know why a teacher knows that? Because he forgets. Once in a while, I have to take out an old tape to hear what I believe on a certain passage. That's right, because I forgot how I interpreted that. But we forget. And so any teacher knows that you teach by repetition. But a teacher also knows not only do his pupils forget, but he knows that they can become so familiar with things that they don't hear them. In other words, if you teach the same truth in the same words, they think they know it and they don't really hear it. So you teach the same truth in other terms. And that's the way the reminders come. So God helping us, we have in our family and in my own heart a total heart commitment to Grace Church to bring to you a ministry, if you will, of remembrance, to keep saying to you the things that are in the Word of God in a fresh and exciting and vital way. Nothing new. In fact, you don't need new revelations and you don't need new visions. You just need to remember the same old, timeless, eternal, divine principles that glorify God, right? And that's what we're committed to sharing. Now, I want you to get the focus. You need to remember. Now, let me expand that for a minute, just in concept. We function on the basis of our brains. We have to be physiological a little bit just to understand this, but God has given us a body and we function in concert with that. And we function in response to our bodies. And there is in our bodies that amazing instrument called the brain. In some of us, it's less amazing than in others, but nonetheless, all of us possess it. And the brain is a gift from God. It grants to us a very important spiritual capacity. Everything you hear, see, or experience in your lifetime is stored in a cell in your brain. There are so many cells, so many little slots in your brain that nothing is ever really forgotten at all. It is all stored there. Now, God, therefore, has given you the capacity to live out spiritual truth. Because you can't say, hey, you know, I try to learn that stuff, but all my categories are filled up. I don't have any empty cells left. You have the capacity to receive it all, and it is all stored there. I did some research in the encyclopedias on the brain, and I found out that though everything in the brain is stored, when you recall it, and when you relearn it, and when you apply it, you expand that storage capacity. And so the more you use something, and the more you hear it, and the more you apply it, the greater part of your thinking process it occupies. So that as you hear and you respond to the Word of God, it begins to take over a larger portion, to put it in layman's terms, of your thinking processes. But all of us have the capacity. In fact, I hear that we only use 0.1% of our brains. Now, some of us probably use more. I've often prayed to the Lord, Lord, if there's so much there, help me to use it. And I think sometimes I'm going to get the answer, hey, you're using all you've got. You know, so, but I know that there's a sense in which we don't even use all that's there. There've been some interesting studies on this. For example, Samuel Taylor Coleridge related the tale of an ignorant slave girl. And this ignorant slave girl was never taught to read, never taught to write, but she could repeat verbatim long passages of Hebrew. And they examined her and they found that she had worked for a scholar who was her employer. He constantly read aloud from rabbinical books, and though she never did learn to read and never understood a thing she was saying, by rote she could repeat long passages of Hebrew. This is because all of that she heard was stored on the brain, and for some reason, she found herself going back and reactivating and relearning and restating all of those things until they became rote for her. For example, the first Greek class I ever took when I was about 18 years old, the professor said, I want you to get a feel for the Greek language. So the first month of Greek, he made us memorize 1 John 1:1 in Greek, even though we couldn't translate it. We just memorize it. That's been over 20 years ago. Ha ein apar case, ha akika amen, ha orakamen tois af thou mois hemon. Amen. That's it. 1 John 1:1. I haven't said that in I don't know how many years. But it's there because I went over it and over it and over it and over it and over it to memorize it. I took piano when I was young. Not very far, but I took it for a little bit. And I had one recital, and I played the March of the Wee Folk. I was I think, 7 years old, and to this day, I can play the March of the Wee Folk and only the March of the Wee Folk. See, repetition expands the capability of recovery. You understand what I'm saying? To recover spiritual truth demands repetition and use. So that the more you hear and the more you think through and the more you apply spiritual truth, the more it begins to dominate your thinking. And eventually, as this goes on, it will become almost an involuntary reaction to respond in a spiritually proper manner to a situation. Because you are so filled with that controlling principle. I talked with some people, and it was kind of amazing. Folks would say something like, you know, I feel that I have to study the Bible every day. I feel that if I don't hear the teaching of the Word of God on the radio, or if I don't study under the teaching of somebody on a tape every single day, that I can't keep my spiritual life in order. And it's hard for me sometimes to understand that, but I began to think about that, and I think I do understand that. Many people in our country go to churches where they're not really fed the Word of God. They're not given a feeding of the Word of God that gives them principles by which to live. Therefore, they are at the mercy of the society they're in. And they are literally bombarded by the filth of the world through the books and the newspapers and the television and the radio and the movies and the music and in the office and at school and wherever they are, the flood just keeps coming. And it just leaves all these impressions on the brain. They're just incessant and constant. And it's come to my attention, as I perceive our society with media approaches to everything, that no longer can Christians be sustained on a one Sunday morning a week diet of spiritual truth. There's no way that you can counter the onslaught of the system unless you expose yourself to the truth of God on a daily basis and feed that into your mind. If you feed into your mind the things of the world, your most automatic response is going to be an ungodly one. And just on a once-a-week basis, you're not going to be able to sustain control of those things for the glory of God. And so I see these folks all over the place who are just digging in deeply because people are feeling that they cannot live for God's glory unless they are daily exposed to His truth so that it's stored in the front part of their mind and they have instant recall. Now, you have the capacity for this. Mozart, the marvelous musician that he was, they said of Mozart that he could hear a great musical piece one time and weeks later write from memory the entire score, having only heard it once. God has given us a marvelous tool in the brain. It's just that it gets jammed with so much stuff. And so I'm trying to say to you that God has designed our physical capacity to accommodate the spiritual need. We must be told to remember, and God has given us the capacity to deal with that. We have a marvelous memory capacity. And over in the Scriptures, as I've been seeing it, and this has refreshed my heart. I'm sure you don't understand how I feel about it, but over and over I've seen how that God's prophets were called to tell His people just to remember. They're just like people with a prod to sort of jog you, to make you remember. And if I can serve no other purpose than that, I can serve the highest purpose that God has intended. First, to establish in the present truth and to let you know these things, and then to constantly jog your memory so that you never forget them. And the more you do that, the more they come to the front of your mind, and you find as you grow toward spiritual maturity that spiritual responses are almost involuntary. You almost don't even have to think about them. They're just involuntary because you're so dominated by the truth of God.
That's John MacArthur helping you learn and apply the timeless truth of God's Word. Remembering What Not to Forget, that's the title of the series that John began today on Grace to You. John, you made the point that ministry is as simple as establishing people as followers of Christ, reminding them of what they already know about the gospel. And I know that you say that's a thesis statement not only for this study, but the entire ministry.
It is. And when we talk about reminding them of what they already know, we would want to add to that and advancing that knowledge. There is a reminding aspect, and there's an advancing of that knowledge from new passages of Scripture, from other books that they hadn't studied, or other narrative texts, or other doctrinal texts of Holy Scripture that expand and add. So on the one hand, we're always trying to help people to remember the foundations, to be reminded of what they already know about the gospel, while also exposing them to more biblical riches about the truths that they remember, enriching and enhancing. We can't do that at all. In fact, we can't do anything without your help. We live in an extraordinary time of opportunity. There's just no place and no people around the globe that we can't reach. You make that possible through your support of Grace to You. Our ministry is expanding so fast in this digital age, we can't even keep up with it. We do know one thing, that as that opportunity expands, the needs expand, and your generosity continues to be critical to what the Lord would have us to do. So thanks for standing with us as we unleash God's truth one verse at a time.
Friend, we're grateful for your prayers and financial gifts. We see this ministry as a true partnership. If you're benefiting from it and you'd like to minister alongside of us, please express your support today. Your donations not only translate into broadcasts like this one today, but allow us to offer spiritually hungry people free Bible study tools, such as the CDs, the booklets, the MP3s, and transcripts. To express your support, please mail your tax-deductible gift to Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or call this toll-free number anytime, 1-800-55-GRACE. When you write to us, let us know how you've benefited from John's teaching. If a recent study has encouraged you, helped you better understand God's truth, let us know. The mailing address again, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. You could also send your feedback by email. That address, letters@gty.org. And thanks for always mentioning the station's call letters as you get in touch. That's more important than you may realize. Now keep in mind that the study John began today, Remembering What Not to Forget, is available in MP3 or transcript format at our website, gty.org. You can go there today and start downloading. Again, the web address, gty.org. For John MacArthur, I'm Carl Miller, encouraging you to come back tomorrow as John continues unleashing God's truth one verse at a time on the next Grace to You. You don't need reminders of where you live or your kids' names, but you do need reminders of something more important than your house and even your children. We'll consider that on tomorrow's Grace to You.